gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Monday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour on the big show, the Rude Pundit, Eric Bollard, and the return of Jackie Schechter for a healthcare
corner.
Hooray! And I happen to know she's paddleboarding with Hot Bree, our friend Melissa Fitzgerald. So we're, you know, she's fitting us in her busy paddleboarding schedule.
Paddleboarding?
Yes.
That's a thing?
Yes, in Malibu. Yes.
Oh,
at this
right.
time of morning? All
yeah,
right.
I told you, I ran into her at a party last week. She looks fabulous, fabulous, getting plenty of sleep, looks tan, rested, healthy, happy.
Unlike the rest of us.
Yeah. Right.
And we're like the Morlocks down below.
Jim, here's the good news, though.
We're three orcs doing a radio show.
We're stuck here in our insane o'clock cave.
Yeah.
However, Jim, here's something that should make you feel good. Where my parallel universe is complete. I was yesterday doing a fundraiser for Representative Linda Sanchez,
uh-huh.
our good friend from the great state of California, the rockin' congresswoman. And somebody came up to me at the party and started doing your Assad impression to me. I have a very good, delicate neck. It does not go snap, go snip. Literally, it's a catchphrase. More than one person came up to the party and went, snip.
I was
in an homage to Jim Ward.
60 Minutes replayed the interview with Assad last night, and I was listening to it. I'm like, wow, that is dead on.
Yeah.
That is dead on.
Nothing will ever be the same. Once you've heard Jim do something, you can't take the real person seriously.
Yes, you're like, it's part of my evil plan.
Please say something about your delicate neck. Oh, damn it. All right. Anywho. Oh, so let's see here. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, Julie writes me. Oh, she tweeted on Friday. Mm-hmm. I double media whored on Friday. I was on Ed's show on MSNBC and also on Aaron Burnett on CNN because I am.
A whore?
A whore.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Aw, you're just saying that to be sweet. Anyway, she's
a slut. Look at her slut.
Mm-hmm. She said, please, Ed, show more Stephanie Miller. Midterms loom and these armchair president whiners only distract and demoralize. I was on with our good friend Mike Papantonio.
Oh, cool.
Who is a naysayer if ever I've met one. Love Mike Papantonio. But I'm crazy, although I've seen a lot of things online and other people writing that make me feel like I'm less crazy.
Okay.
Whether it's Bob Cheska or, I don't know, Tomosky or whoever my latest boyfriends are. But I was like, I don't get it. I'm insane. I'm like, okay, so the president just gets Syria to not only admit they have chemical weapons they didn't a week ago, but agree to give them up without firing a shot, and that's somehow a disaster for the Obama administration? I don't get it. Did I miss something?
I didn't read it, so I don't know.
It's not a disaster for the Obama administration.
But I don't even get the whole storyline. I literally, Bob Woodward yesterday on Meet the Press said, oh, well, this could just be more, you know, Obama luck.
Well, if people...
Like, really? Really?
If people are just looking at it tangentially, like most people do,
right.
It may appear that the Obama administration kind of stumbled into this, and now they're latching onto it.
Right, right, sure. Okay.
That's what...
No, I'm not just saying it's you.
I know.
I'm just like, are you really kidding me? Do you really? I mean, first of all, somebody wrote a great piece in Salon about, and this is why I said from the beginning I trusted the president, because he has proved his anti-war credentials, and the whole meme that he wanted war. He didn't want war, you dummies. He wanted exactly this to happen. He's not George Bush.
Right. Like he said, he was elected to get us out of wars, not to start them.
Yes. We have to get our friend, Representative Jim Moran, on. I saw him on MSNBC over the weekend, and he said the same thing. It's like, give me a break. Do you think it was not the credible threat of force that made this happen? This didn't just happen. I mean, Putin, are you kidding me? Oh, I'm sorry. Look, my forehead's sweating early in the show.
Sean Hannity thinks Moran's an a-hole.
Right. Oh, does he? Yes. Oh, that's right. He was caught in an open mic saying that. Well, that's perfect proof why he's my hero.
What a jerk. Did you hear that? Right. God, I hate these people. You have no idea how pissed was Moran. Not that I give a shit. I have always couldn't stand this guy.
See? I knew there was another reason I loved him. I'd forgotten that. You're right.
That's right.
Oh. Love him. Love him, love him. Yeah, you'd hate to disrupt the right wing's, you know, adoration of Putin.
Putin.
Oh, by the way, I read the gayest sentence ever about Putin by a Republican congressman. who said he arm wrestled with him, and you wouldn't believe his muscles.
I wouldn't believe his muscles. Wow.
Like, what?
Dana Rohrabacher from here in California?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I have it here. Oh, you would you want to hear the love story?
Sure.
I'm easily sidetracked, but... Oh, okay. Well, you can play that music.
Gay
That's
music?
Fine.
Sure.
Sure. Gawker brings us the story. GOP congressman arm wrestled Putin. His muscles are just unbelievable. Conservative California congressman Dana, whose name is Dana Rohrabacher, who thought by some to be a closeted gay man. Oh, this is Gawker. I don't know. I'm just reading what Gawker said. I don't know.
Oh, sure.
Recently regaled listeners of a California radio station with a story about the time he got drunk and arm wrestled Russian President Vladimir Putin. Sample quote, his muscles are just unbelievable. It was the 90s. Who didn't drunk and arm wrestle Putin in the 90s? Come on. It was the 90s and Putin was in D.C. on business. In a moment of diplomatic whimsy, Rohrabacher invited the visiting Russian politician and some of his colleagues to play a game of touch football.
The Russians don't know what whimsy is.
Well, they don't know what touch football is.
Well, that's true.
After which everyone decamped to a nearby pub. That's when things got really fun. Quoting Dana Rohrabacher, so we went out and played touch football, and Scooter Libby was one of the players. Oh, isn't that something?
Before he went to jail.
Right. And a bunch of my right-wing friends were there, and so we all went out over to this pub afterwards, the Irish Times pub. We were having a little bit too much to drink, I guess, but anyway, we started arguing about who won the Cold War, etc. And so we decided to settle it like men do when they've had too much to drink in the pub. And so we got down to these arm wrestling matches, and I ended up being paired up with Putin. And he's a little guy, but boy, I tell you, he put me down in a millisecond. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
He is tough. His muscles are just unbelievable.
Oh, my God. Really? Really?
Really?
I don't think I would arm wrestle a judo black belt with who used to be head of the KGB in Germany.
Especially in a fit of diplomatic whimsy.
Yeah, you could try to outdrink a Russian. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Ay vey, schmear. Okay. So somebody, just to make me feel better, sent me Karen. Said, you are quoted in a great article. Steph, please read the article, How Putin Outsmarted Obama by Completely Surrendering to All His Demands. It can be found at The People's View. It's a good blog. I've perused it from time to time. The author quotes you, plus it's a great article. Karen, sending that along.
I have him exactly where I want him.
Yeah, I I've said this before, but credibility? Are you kidding me? Putin, for sure, was saying that the rebels did it. So really? Why would you make a deal to disarm Assad if you're still trying to claim... I mean, give me a break. Really? Then why wouldn't... Okay. Sorry. I'm a little wound up.
Yeah.
Okay. Between... Who is it? Bob Woodward and... Kathleen Parker on Meet the Press. Wow. About how I just... I'm like, really? Armchair presidents? You are just... You are sweet. Okay. Yes, this is in the People's View, how Putin outsmarted Obama by completely surrendering all of his demands. In certain parts of the World Wide Web, whether it be the Liberal, the Nation, or any of the conservative outlets, the narrative is that Russian President Vladimir Putin outsmarted President Obama by coming up with a peaceful solution to Syria's use of chemical weapons. Blah, 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 skipping, skipping, skipping. So let's review, shall we? The U.S. gets a full disarmament of Syria, verifiably, completely, and transparently. Russia, which until the G20 refused to even talk about consequences for Syria, is suddenly on board. Syria can't act fast enough to show and turn over their chemical weapons. Until last week, it didn't even admit it had. Chemical weapons? What chemical? Oh, here you go. Credit, Stephanie Miller. Thank you.
Wow.
Aww, thank you.
Huh.
Add to boot that the U.S. got the Russia to agree to govern this agreement under the part of the Security Council documents that covers military action, even if Russia is still putting up a front against it. It was Russia that moved from its earlier position of no consequences for Assad to, okay, we'll do whatever you want, just don't bomb our boy. John Kerry, President Obama, and his team achieved complete victory because they got everything they wanted and more. So I guess Putin did outsmart Obama by completely agreeing to all President Obama. Thank you. Am I the only one that... How is this bad? Who else was on Meet the Press? His name? Oh, Roy Blunt, Republican senator.
Uh-huh.
I swear to God, like, he seemed to be sort of smirking, sort of like, like, hoping for Obama's failure or that this doesn't work. Like, it's just, they can't rush to say enough bad things. It's just like, but we're all still America, aren't we? And there's Grampy. I don't know how they got that booking. That was shocking.
Yeah.
John McCain on Meet the Press. It is incredible to try to spin this as some sort of failure, and yet he tries. It wasn't the policy. I would have armed the rebels sooner, and I would have...
he's
you
bitter.
Just seem disappointed
yes,
that
bitter.
We're not at war again. Yeah, he is a little bitter.
Disappointed!
Party of one.
Where are we going to blow something up? Come on! George Bush went in and blowed the whole thing up right away.
Yeah, we harshed his wargasm.
Yeah. And dang it.
Dang it.
What kind of war is that where you don't blow stuff up?
Yes, exactly. Yes, oh, this is somebody sent me about, also saw Jim Moran. Mama saw Jim Moran on the MSNBC yesterday. He was asked, shouldn't what to do about Syria still be submitted to Congress? And he was like, are you kidding? It's the most dysfunctional Congress in modern times. They can't get anything right. I thank God the president and John Kerry are in charge of this. He singled out Pelosi, Boxer, and other people who he said have the balls to speak out for the right thing, even when it's dramatically unpopular. But said most of Congress is just lost and has no business butting into foreign policy. I mean, it's literally, you're asking wackadoodles like, I don't know, Michelle Bachmann, Louis Gohmert to weigh in. They were over in Egypt blaming the wrong people for 9/11 last week.
Yeah.
Really? These are the people we're going to, all right. Well.
Hey, kids, what's for breakfast?
My name is Michelle Bachmann. I'm a member of the United States Congress from the United States of America.
And that's not all.
And joining me are two other members of Congress, Representative Steve King of Iowa and also Louis Gohmert of Texas.
It's Sugar Frosted Wackadoodle, the number one breakfast cereal for American kids in the United States of America, where America is.
Thank you, and it has been wonderful to be here in Egypt.
Wackadoodles, part of this unbalanced breakfast.
It appears that the Obama administration has been backing the Muslim Brotherhood in recent months.
Hey, the Muslim Brotherhood, they're always after me wackadoodles.
And moms, remember, wackadoodles contains 100% of your child's minimum daily exposure to lead-based paint. Try new sugar-frosted wackadoodles. But they're crazy. On your grocer shelf next to Fruity Putins.
Fruity Putins, yay. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, off to a rollicking Monday start as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rude Pundit coming up at the bottom of the hour. A little bit of breaking news.
Yeah, there's been a shooting at the Navy Yard in D.C. That's the head of the Naval Sea System. Well, it's command headquarters for Naval Sea Systems. And they're saying three people have been shot, and a SWAT team is in there looking for what they believe is the lone gunman in there. So we'll keep you apprised as events warrant.
All right, and in case you hadn't heard, U.S. and Russia announced an ambitious plan to transfer Syria's massive chemical weapons stockpile to international control by the middle of next year, at which point they would be destroyed. Under the agreement, Syria has only 1 week to declare the size and location of its chemical weapons stashes. The disarmament would also be expedited with inspectors arriving by November. Some weapons would be destroyed within Syria, while others may be transferred abroad for destruction. Obama added that more work remains to be done and there are consequences should the Assad regime not comply with the framework agreed to today. And if diplomacy fails, the United States remains prepared to act. And as many people have said, and I couldn't agree more, it is only the credible force that made this happen. There's no other reason that they suddenly, I mean, just really? Putin's just a genius that thought of this all by himself 4 days ago? Yeah, exactly.
We know Assad's not a genius.
And by the way, Kerry said the United States has been keeping an eye on, no, and he also has a delicate neck.
Yes, he does.
Snip. Kerry says they have been keeping an eye on the weapons as Assad moved them around the country. So yeah, he's not quite as bright as
Look over there. Don't you see any weapons? No, you do not.
Oh, miss. You did here? Not sink my battleship.
Are there any weapons? No, there are no weapons over here either. Hmm. Poof, they went.
Exactly. Joe and Marilyn, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi. Whoa, how you doing? Hello now.
Sorry. Hey, I was here, you're saying, first of all, I'm against the Iraq war. I'm against, it was against the Afghanistan war. But, you know, to hear you talk, it really sounds like you're just a blanket apologist for Obama. I mean, he did mess this up. Come on, I mean.
Yeah, this is a horrible outcome. It really is. You're right.
What did he mess up?
First of all, he should have never used the red line thing.
Right.
Secondly, when he should
all,
have said,
this has all ended so badly. We have a dictator that. When have you heard of a dictator for giving up their own weapons without us firing a shot? Really?
Are they gone yet?
No, of course this is going to take work, but really, this is not a good resolution.
This is the same deal.
How much blood and treasure did George Bush spend going into a country that didn't have them?
I told you I was against that. Are you going to let me talk or no?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. This is very similar to the deal that was cut by Clinton with, to quote, get rid of North Korea's nuclear weapons. They still have them. This is a deal that is not enforceable.
Well, you know, when they got more is when George Bush was president, yeah. And he stopped talking to them.
Oh, God, you guys are so... All you do is... You got Bush on the brain. I didn't like Bush either, but can you actually...
Enough about my weekend.
Something?
But President Bush...
Can you analyze anything without talking about
Joe,
Bush?
President Bush did a lot of damage to our international reputation.
Yeah, so what? Deal with it.
We are trying to deal with it right now.
Obama's trying to deal with it. This is part of the fallout, whether it's public opinion here or around the world, because of George Bush.
He got boxed into this thing because the Great Britain said no. Then the Congress.
Okay, but Joe, what are you unhappy about this resolution now?
Unhappy with the fact that you're so irrational about your defense of him.
I'm irrational. Like, he just got a dictator to give up all his chemical weapons
without firing a shot. It's an awesome outcome.
No, it's not.
What outcome would you prefer? This is exactly the outcome he wanted.
You're acting like it's a done deal. It's not done.
Of course not, but what would you prefer?
Does North Korea still have its nuclear weapons?
What, and that's Obama's fault? I'm confused.
No, it's not Obama's fault.
It's Bush's fault.
It's called... there you go with the brain again.
We're trying to clean up after Bush here.
If I say I'm going to give you $1 million, do you have $1 million? No, you don't have it until you get it in your pocket.
All right. Well, you continue to root against the resolution and hope it goes badly. All right.
Yeah.
I will be over here hoping as an American that it goes well.
He will be hoping that more innocent people get killed through bombs and stuff.
I'm not quite sure what his point was.
No, I wasn't either.
Things aren't perfect, therefore why bother?
And yet he said he was against Iraq and Afghanistan and yet seemed like a bit of a Bush apologist.
Yes, he was.
To me. Why do you keep bringing up Bush?
Because we're cleaning up after him. That's why.
Well. Okay. I have to read certain things to make me, you know, come back to, am I crazy? No, I'm not. It's that guy. This guy's like that.
Yeah.
Is it me? It's him, right? Yeah, I've turned into what's that character from SNL? Is it me? It's them, right?
Nathan Thurm.
Yeah, sweaty and just.
Yeah.
PoliticsUSA.com has some good stuff. Obama's thoughtful diplomatic triumph on Syria leaves his critics speechless. Well, that part is not true. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
It's not left them speechless. I literally am watching Meet the Press yesterday. I'm going, was there some different outcome than I was? What? How is this bad? Okay. President Obama's critics on the left and right were silenced today. His thoughtful approach to Syria has led to a breakthrough diplomatic agreement on chemical weapons. This is probably written, you know, before he...
Sure.
Turned on a television or, you know,
whatever
of any kind. I have to say, I thought Bob Seska said the best thing I've heard about this on our show last week. He said, can you imagine if Glenn Greenwald was tweeting during the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Yeah.
He's, what are you doing now? Oh, Kennedy, you screwed it up. Oh, what a bumble. Okay. Everything worked out fine. Good. Okay, fine. Can we just get rid of social media entirely right now?
No. You need it for promotion for your show.
Yeah. It just seems really useless to me. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You feel that feeling you got right now? That's
Stephanie Miller.
And no one can take that away from you.
Mm-hmm. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Eric Bollert of Media Matters coming up at the top of the hour. He tweeted, see, I'm not the only one that was thinking that.
Right.
Kathleen Parker can't decide who's worse, Obama who averted war or Bush who launched a $3 trillion war that killed 4,000 plus Americans. Hashtag just stop. Thank you. Yeah. She said we're having a hard time getting it right because, you know, Bush was a little too much this way and Obama a little too much that way. Whatever, it's all
relative. Whatever.
Uh-huh.
A little bit country, a little bit rock and roll.
Yeah, right, sure, exactly. Who can say what's worse? I have just a little bit of an opinion on that. By the way, a UN report due for release today expected to confirm chemical weapons were used. Are you kidding?
They said I think they said they were used 14 times.
The paper war reportedly suggests that only Assad's military had the capacity to carry out such wide-scale attacks. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said Friday it will be an overwhelming report and that the Assad government has committed many crimes against humanity.
Yeah. They said they're investigating 14 suspected chemical attacks.
Yes, there's that. Okay, so as I was saying before, it's just a lot of this is just common sense. Like, really? Why would Russia even get involved in this if they could prove what Putin said in his op-ed that, oh, the rebels did it? Really? Well, then why don't you prove it to the world? Why would you do a deal to disarm Assad if he didn't do it? I mean, it's just, it's...
Well, they want to keep him from doing it in case he goes crazy.
Right.
And, but the rebels did it.
Right.
Da.
We have proof.
Da. Sure you can. Okay. Hey, it's Monday.
You're supposed to be there. The rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning. I think I committed crimes against humanity this weekend.
Go ahead, come clean. What'd you do?
No. Oh. You probably don't want to know. Don't worry, there'll be a full UN investigation.
By the way, I love the one part that you wrote this week. You said, man, somewhere you know that George W. Bush is laughing his miserable bony ass off, calling Dick Cheney to giggle it up about how they had the world tied in knots, how they've made things that may in fact be true sound like lies because their lies sounded like the truth to so many people, how they've made the world a skittish place for even the consideration of action, and how they left behind a tangled pile of live wires and dare you to try to figure out before you get electrocuted. Very good, sir. Yes, exactly. Is it? Do we cut the red wire or the blue wire?
Right. Right. And that's where we are, isn't it? And I think maybe they chose the right wire finally.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, you've probably been listening a little bit, but it's like I feel like I don't understand what has happened when I'm watching like a Meet the Press or whatever. I understand, I guess that's people's jobs to be armchair presidents, but I'm like, how is this a bad resolution right now?
You know, it's really dumbfounding. You know, I think it was on the media on NPR that was also pretty dumbfounded about it, saying a week ago journalists were actually critically looking at, you know, what the case was for bombing and if there was a case for bombing, and now that we're not bombing, the media is saying, oh no, we're not going to bomb. I don't understand. Were they really that anxious to get back in their flak jackets and do on the scene reporting? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I
think the Chiron department is disappointed.
Yeah. John Stewart say that? But wait a minute, we have this graphic.
Right.
Crisis in Syria. Wait a minute, what?
Yep. All those explosions. All those, you know, Syrian flag with fire burning in the background. That's gone.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's the media. I think that's the John Stewart clip we'd played, right? About you know,
right.
we get a dictator to give up his chemical weapons without firing a shot. But on the other hand, we made this shiny graphic.
Right. I mean, of course, you know, we shouldn't forget that, you know, this also in some ways seems to give a kind of green light for Assad to say, all right, just use conventional weapons. That's it, you know, that's fine.
As long as
you're just shooting your people in the head, we're cool.
I still have my stapler.
And storage room B is very tastily appointed.
Yeah.
Your post, Ann Coulter, is still a C-word. Is some of your better work as well. And you know, dirtier, too, than is even normal for you.
Well, thank you. Now,
yeah.
You know, some people inspire that. Ann Coulter is one of them.
She's a cynic, is what you're saying.
Yes, that is the C-word.
Right. You say Coulter is not only long past her due date, she's been dropping into the bottomless pit of irrelevancy for a few years as she sees herself eclipsed by the cups and the loches and whatever other shiny dip they can shove in front of a camera to say vile things. And you say, here's the deal, what she says is still often a bellwether for the blathering you'll hear from the nutsoid mutants running around Congress now. I mean, it really is true.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, and the column that I was writing about is she completely revises history of the last 50 or 60 years, essentially blaming every foreign policy error from Vietnam forward solely on Democrats. That Richard Nixon, you know, he was the guy that got us out of the war that SOB Kennedy started.
Having expanded into Cambodia and Laos.
Right.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Right. Forget it. And, you know, forget that it took 4 years before he actually, you know, got us out of the war.
And Kennedy wanted to get us out of the war in 63. National Security Action Memorandum 263. He wanted to pull out, but he wanted to wait till after the election because, you know, Goldwater would have his guts for garters if he pulled out before.
What is with you and your facts?
Right. Well, you, and then the other sentence you highlight is she said, by giving Islamic fanatics their first nation state, Jimmy Carter produced the global Islamofascist movement we're still dealing with today. And you posted a helpful picture in helping to refute that.
Yeah. It's Ronald Reagan sitting with the Mujahideen, who were the freedom fighters that we armed. And it started with Jimmy Carter 6 months before the Afghanistan invasion. Jimmy Carter started having the CIA get arms to the Mujahideen, but Reagan made it his policy. You know?
The Reagan doctrine of hating on the USSR, right.
Reagan doctrine, wherever the USSR is going to try to exert influence, we will be there to counter them, even if we have to bravely invade the beaches of Grenada.
Yeah, exactly.
You said, the Mujahideen, after the war was over, some of them became the terrorists known as Al-Qaeda, and boy, did they have some cool weapons to play with. You'd be hard-pressed to deny that 9/11 happened because of Ronald Reagan. Uh-oh, I heard right-wing heads exploding across the Twitterverse.
Yeah, well, you know, considering that Coulter's column blames 9/11 on Bill Clinton, who was, you know, trying to get Osama bin Laden, except that, you know, the Republicans were too busy, you know, trying to impeach him. Yeah, except for that, her history's totally correct.
Yeah.
Except for being wrong, she's totally right.
Yeah. And she was able to call the president a monkey 3 times in one conversation about how Putin is making Obama look like a monkey.
Yes. Because, mm-hmm. you know, there's nothing like a little banal racism to really make your point to Fox viewers.
Yeah. It's that kind of subtlety they've come to enjoy.
Yes, that's right. Oh, no, I didn't mean anything racist by monkey. That's what they'll say. That's exactly what they would say. I didn't mean to call the black man a monkey. That wasn't a racist statement. It's like Putin just has a monkey with a little hat that he makes dance.
Exactly. Rudeness, great rude stuff this week. We will see you next week, my friend.
All right, bye.
All right, there he goes. The rude one. Yeah, there's a few graphic details in the Ann Coulter thing if you want to read it. You kids get that online. Read it. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Well, good morning, lovely
Stephanie. Good morning, sir.
Brightness, and it's dark here and raining here in D.C., so you brighten it up.
Aw, yay.
Oh, precious. All right.
on that note, I mean, I know we've talked about right-wingers' ability to say if Obama says up, they'll say down, et cetera, but somehow I'm still stunned by the blatantness of it. You know, going back to Somali pirates, when before he acted, you know, they were saying, oh, he's weak, he's indecisive. Then when it went perfectly, oh, how dare he kill those poor black Africans, huh? You guys are worried about black people anyway? But they flip-flopped, and of course, with Osama bin Laden, when, you know, all of a sudden Bush was more responsible for that clear victory that Obama had. And now with Syria, because of the threat, at least the timing seems that because of him threatening that airstrike, all of a sudden Syria and Putin play ball.
Go ahead.
You know, he got them to admit they had chemical weapons when before they would have died they weren't. It's now on Putin's back if anything happens, and yet Putin cleaned Obama's clock. I don't know how that is logical.
Yeah, well, exactly. I said that earlier, Kevin. What does that say about Putin's credibility? In the New York Times just last weekend, he said the rebels did it. So why would you make a deal to disarm your buddy Assad then? Like, I mean, it's like, what, really? His credibility is intact.
And did you see Rachel Maddow? She put up a whole bunch of clips of how they sounded almost like what was that movie? Brokeback Mountainish in their admiration for before Obama, who they hated, Russians, he's a commie and all that. Now he's great and boy, he's strong. Huh? What? When?
What now? Yeah. Did you see Bill Maher coined a new term to describe GOPs who switch positions to oppose Obama? Black track.
I gotta catch up with that.
the act of changing one's mind because President Obama has agreed with you. Black track.
Black track.
Now, how do you? I mean, seriously, been called deranged syndrome and all that. But seriously, these people need some time on the couch. I mean, if they don't believe this stuff. To have the mental acumen to keep doing this stuff, I mean, it would drive me crazy, give me a headache to keep up this front, but I suspect they really believe it.
Yep.
They need some time on the couch.
Yep, there you go. All right, he didn't mean that in a, you know,
dirty way.
No. All right, 45
minutes. In a casting way.
Right.
We're talking about psychiatrist.
Right, exactly. Yeah. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Pick up my guitar and play, just like yesterday. Then I'll get on my knees and pray. We don't get fooled again.
Ow! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. A little update from
There's been a shooting at the Washington Naval Yard, which is a pretty big naval installation in the D.C. area, and I guess three people have been shot. There's SWAT teams inside looking for the gunman who has apparently gone to the roof now, which has caused a ground stop at National Airport.
Jim pointed out we should just be glad that it's not New Jersey. They don't have those guns you can shoot planes down with.
Yeah, that's
true. Chris Christie's so fond of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're keeping you updated with that situation.
So have fun at Dulles.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a little crowded this morning.
Yeah.
Robert in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Robert.
Hey, I'm going to quote a couple of great Americans, and the first one is the Fonz. I was
wrong.
And yes, I was. And the president has done an artful job of resolving the Syrian situation, the chemical weapons situation. I mean, first of all, to get them to admit they had chemical weapons is a huge deal.
Right.
And then much less to get them to destroy their chemical weapons. And of course the Russians have to be involved because, you know, the Russians are, you know, basically their masters.
Yeah.
And so,
it certainly is a disaster for the Obama administration. It's proved that he's a complete muddle. He's been muddled, and his leadership has definitely been dinged.
I heard someone say yesterday.
And the other great American I wanted to quote was Teddy Roosevelt, and you know, you walk softly but carry a big stick. And you know, sometimes you gotta show that big stick. You know, and then those, you know, cruise missiles tend to be a big stick, you know.
Oh boy.
It's almost like Senator Butch Me Up, Lindsey Graham is afraid of how big
stick
might be.
Yeah, I'm sure he's showing
giving
his
them
stick.
The vapors.
That is
John
a big
told
stick.
Me that war is the only way to prove your manhood. Woo! I'll be on the veranda.
You sound like Miss B.
For the mint julep.
Oh, Andy.
Or Aunt B.
Andy.
All right. Hey, speaking of fine Americans, who was it with him, like, one of your... Oh, politicsusa.com. Obama's thoughtful diplomatic triumph on Syria leaves his critics speechless. Okay, that part, obviously. I think somebody thought, what could anyone possibly say about this? But that didn't really stop the carping. But at any rate, it was very helpful. Jason Easley wrote this on politicsusa.com. This is not the sort of agreement that comes together quickly. I have to prove to myself I'm not crazy reading this material this weekend. This is not the sort of agreement that comes together quickly. Yeah, you think? If you look at this actual agreement, if you've read what's in it, He said it is a complicated and detailed agreement that looks to have been in the works for a while. The structure of this agreement verifies the Obama administration's claim that they have been working on this with the Russians for months, and it was first mentioned a year ago. The idea that has been pushed by the Obama critics on the left that Putin rescued Obama in Syria is even more absurd and ridiculous when the details of the settlement are examined. The pressure is now on Russia to deliver Syria's compliance. If this agreement falls through, it will be on the Russians. President Obama will get credit for the agreement and not for using the military to act unilaterally no matter what. Syria now becomes a test of Russian credibility. If they fail to deliver Syrian compliance, their image as a global force will take a huge hit. President Obama's critics on the left and right have been made to look foolish again. The President of the United States will always have more information than they do. So when critics base their criticisms on personal biases or what they think is happening, they will almost always be wrong. The agreement on Syria's chemical weapons is a victory for intelligence and thoughtfulness. The President took a huge risk by putting himself out there, but it looks like the military threat was designed to jumpstart the international community and get Syria to the negotiating table. President Obama brilliantly won on Syria without firing a shot, and his critics are once again reeling in retreat with nothing to say. Thank you, Politics USA.
So does this mean that everyone has to be hanged?
For now. Snick. But just remember, snip.
Snip, snip.
All right, Secretary of State John Kerry.
Now, this will only be as effective as its implementation will be. And President Obama has made it clear that to accomplish that, the threat of force remains.
By the way, a piece in the L.A. Times, a serious chemical stockpile, easy to find, hard to get to. John Kerry made another, because a lot of people have said, and, you know, understandably, like, this is not going to be easy to do in the middle of a raging civil war. But he said, one of the reasons we believe this is achievable is because the Assad regime has taken extraordinary pains in order to keep control of these weapons. They have moved them, and we know they've moved them. We've seen them move them. We've watched this, and so we know they're committed to, they've continued to always move them to a place of more control. Obviously, they're largely concentrated in government-controlled areas. This is sort of the silver lining, if you will. If the Assad regime is prepared to live up to its word, we should not have a problem achieving access to their sites. So, anyway, there's that. Senator Carl Levin, Democrat of Michigan.
This progress would not have been achieved without the threat of the use of a military strike by President Obama.
The aforementioned big stick.
Yes. And now here is John McCain to...
Stick. I'm too dear to the stick. I hope he doesn't try to hit me with it.
And now here is John McCain to explain why...
I have a very delicate bum.
Even more than his neck. Here's John McCain to explain why this is bad.
Bad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a loser because I think it gave Russia a position in the Middle East, which they haven't had since 1970.
What?
No. Russia's been...
What?
Russia's not in... Okay.
Syria's practically Soviet Socialist Republic. You know, they're all over that place. Mm. Have been for a long time.
Mm.
Okay,
all right.
Whatever.
Senator... Bob Corker on also why this is bad.
We have been remiss. We've announced that we're doing something, but
right.
what we've
right.
done certainly has not been at the pace that it should be.
Right, right. And that
we're going too slow, too fast.
Peaceful resolution.
We're doing too much of a little. Too little, too much.
Clearly he did it wrong.
Too much, too little, too late.
Too much, too little, too late to ever.
Oh, boy. Hey, boy. Interesting too, piece in the LA Times on the polling too, and because Jim, being the official historian of the Stephanie Miller Show,
when did that happen?
A long time ago. In America,
when I started polling, but that's not important.
Hey,
what?
In America, not isolationism, but skepticism. Doyle McManus writes, Americans have often been reluctant to go to war, but on Syria, they may look and sound more anti-interventionist than they really are. This was, and I don't know if I knew this, Jim. Maybe you probably did. Americans have, he writes, have almost always been reluctant to go to war. In 1939, polls showed that most Americans not only wanted to stay out of war against Nazi Germany, they weren't even sure they wanted to send military aid to Britain, fearing perhaps a slippery slope.
Well, we didn't want to get into World War I either.
Yeah.
We were drawn into it.
Today, Americans have additional reasons to be skeptical. There's a toll of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. There's a fear that any war in the Middle East will inevitably become a quagmire. Mm. But then he points out just the obvious, as we were saying, the partisan polarization. Many conservatives who might have supported military action under a Republican president are disinclined to help Obama in his hour of need. But it's not all partisan. Public confidence in the federal government's ability to do anything right has reached an all-time low, according to Gallup.
Well, yeah, thanks to sequestration and all the other...
Right, and the Herp Derp Caucus, as we call the Tea Party. Does that mean Americans have become isolationists, turning their back on the world in a way that hasn't been seen for a century? That's not so clear. Anyway, just thoughtful piece on why, you know, the polling is where it is. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Eric Bollard and more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, breaking news.
Yeah, there's some breaking news out of D.C. We've had a shooting at the Washington Naval Yard, which is a big naval headquarters there in D.C. Several, the police are now saying five people have been shot, including two officers. And it appears the gunman has gone up to the roof, which has prompted a ground stoppage at Reagan National Airport. So it affects travel in and out of the D.C. area, and SWAT teams are now in there looking for the gunman as we speak. So,
the only silver lining is we were saying that this is not Newark Airport, and they don't have those guns that can shoot planes down that Chris Christie okayed.
Yep.
So that happened. All right. And also, in case you just woke up or whatever, the president has got a ruthless dictator to admit to weapons he didn't even think said he had a week ago and give up all of his chemical weapons without firing a shot. It is a disaster, as we all know, for the Obama administration, who has bungled their way through this.
I had chemical weapons? Why was I not informed of this? Should I not have known this?
Okay. Oh, I just caught this, too. It also appears that Russians appear to have dropped their contention. Putin just wrote that last weekend, in fact, that the rebels were behind the attack.
Oh!
Huh. I guess that UN report today might be somewhat inconvenient for Putin and also the Obama naysayers. Okay. And along those lines, look who's here. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
The only way I can calm myself after Meet the Press, not Xanax, not wine, Eric Bollard tweets. Because I'm, first of all, I'm sure you heard Bob Woodward say, oh, I guess this might be just more Obama dumb luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everyone
literally
does that. I mean, you know, the Wall Street Journal today, not in the editorial page, but in the main, the so-called newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this supposed TikTok about, you know, how the administration got where it was. Head-turning reversals, they called it. These are people who are literally incapable. They have pinnacle jobs in American journalism, literally incapable of even contemplating the idea that the use of force led to a peaceful solution. These are people who who after the Cuban Missile Crisis would have written up JFK's talk about how he stumbled into, you know, a peaceful resolution. I mean, they literally can't get their head around the fact that at one point he threatened military force, and then a few days later he accepted a peaceful resolution. Can't understand it.
It's brinksmanship.
Can't understand it. And they work for the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but even people on the left, Eric, I'm like, he doesn't want war, you dummy. He wants this outcome. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not sure a lot of, I think a lot of folks on the left, anti-war, their heart was in the right place, but when I'm on Twitter and he's George Bush and he wants World War III and he just wants to drop, you know, as many bombs on Syria as possible, I'm like, people, you know, let's stay in the real world.
Yeah.
Let's stay, let's not do this nonsense.
Well,
a lot of them did, and unfortunately, I think, and again, once the peaceful resolution was announced, they all just disappeared. They had nothing to say, which I think is unfortunate, because I think what's completely been lost in all of this was the humanitarian crisis at the center of it. It was never interest of anyone in D.C., and it was always about Obama. And now the so-called analysis is nothing more than theater criticism. You know, he stumbled into this. He blundered into that. Bottom line, know, a week ago, as you said, he was on the verge of the press was about to announce the end of his second term. Because if he lost that vote in Congress, that was going to be the end of the second term. Lame duck. And then he was going to have to do this unpopular war. All of that has been reversed, and they can't – and they're so invested in the bubbling storyline that they can't change their mind.
Yeah, I love you tweeted Twitter cons last November. Mitt's going to win in a landslide. Twitter cons today. Peaceful Syria chemical deal is a disaster for Obama. and Kathleen Parker, obviously, we're going to meet the press. You said it perfectly. Kathleen Parker can't decide who's worse, Obama who averted war or Bush who launched a $3 trillion war that killed 4,000 plus Americans. Hashtag just stop. I mean, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, her piece was, you know, she couldn't decide who was worse, Obama who couldn't make up his mind, or Bush who was too headstrong, and why can't we get someone right in the middle? But then she proceeded to go on Meet the Press and basically attack Obama for accepting a peaceful resolution, and attacking him for not just bombing anyway.
Yeah, you said Kathleen Parker, furious overthinker, Obama struck a peaceful deal to disarm Syria, hashtag bitter. I mean, really, it just, I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Yeah, no, but it's the Syria fiasco, and I think it's a fiasco for the Beltway Press. It could be used as a defining moment. They don't do foreign policy. They don't understand diplomacy. Everything is about Obama. Everything. They've taken this campaign approach to cover, you know, this approach to covering campaigns, this nonstop hyperpartisan approach, and they're trying to apply it to foreign policy. They're trying to apply it to a breaking foreign policy crisis, and they just end up looking ridiculous.
Well,
that's not how foreign policy has ever been covered in the past. This, again, this sort of hyperventilating minute by minute, how does this affect Obama? The point is, how does this affect chemical weapons in the Middle East? And they proved to be wrong almost in every
conceivable
way.
They were cheerleaders for the Iraq war, remember? The mainstream media. I mean,
kind of a stunning reversal, as I pointed out on Twitter. You know, not one bomb dropped, not one American killed, and Obama's getting mauled in the press. The same press corps that, you know, was a cheerleader for the Iraq War for at least 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you pointed out a great. I love this. Faced with the prospect of supporting a president they hate for a living, some formerly hawkish commentators as well as members of Congress suddenly turned dovish and are, you know, relentlessly criticize Obama for his call for force. And then you said the another colossal shift occurred. With the news that Russia was involved, Fox News and much of the conservative media touting Putin as Obama's superior. They're toasting the Russian president's superior smarts, marveling at his macho persona, and claiming he's making a fool out of Obama. I missed that one. Matt Drudge.
Plus he hates gays.
Yeah. Matt Drudge actually touted Obama as the leader of the free world.
Putin. So, so all the coverage has to be Obama. All the quote analysis has to be about Obama. And there, you know, the press has missed these gaping stories. Like, you know, the Republican leadership supported Obama initially on the bombing. Cantor, Boehner, those people, AIPAC, Bill Kristol, they couldn't get two Republicans to follow him. What does that say? Obama essentially got the Republican Party to go on the record as being opposed to all military intervention as long as there's a Democratic president. How, you know, so they basically flushed away their hawkish branding, you know, in a week because Obama was for it. You know, what's the long-term implications of that? They're not interested.
Although I saw some Republican yesterday, you know, talking about, well, you know, be a totally different conversation about Iran. Like, meaning, like, they'd be really disappointed. But they didn't get their war this time. But, you know, I mean, in the meantime, the more bad news for them is the president's talking to Iran's leader, and that seems to be moving along on the right
peace
track
is
as
broken
well.
Out. Damn it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a good point about Iran. And the other point I raised last week, there's been no implication about the GOP and the right-wing media, how are they ever going to launch another PR campaign to invade Iran? Well, they're on the record saying, basically the United States shouldn't be intervening anywhere in the Middle East. So they've completely sunk that logic. Again, no discussion, no analysis. Everything is about Obama. A, everything was about Obama. B, they got everything wrong about Obama.
Yeah.
And they're still sort of clinging to this, oh, he stumbled, he failed, et cetera, et cetera. Right, because peaceful resolutions to Middle Eastern crisis are always depicted as failures, right?
Right. And I love that you scamps at Media Matters tend to go back in time to suss out a little whiff of hypocrisy.
It can be helpful.
You said, in fact, Fox News' Bill O'Reilly in 2008 lashed out at America's so-called liberal media for giving Putin too much positive coverage. Specifically, O'Reilly had denounced NBC for acting as Russia's fifth column in the U.S., being secret sympathizers of a foreign government. He said, with a network like NBC, Vladimir Putin has a fifth column here in the good old USA. But most Americans understand Putin's a villain, a former secret police killer who's intent on imposing Russian influence on border countries. Hilarious. And so it's been a swoon fest over at Fox News lately for Putin, right?
Oh, it had. I mean, to O'Reilly's credit, he's been relatively consistent. He still hates Putin, called him a scoundrel last week or whatever. But at other points, depending on the cycle of the negotiations, when he turned on Fox News, you know, he was this, as we talked about, he was this virile leader. He was outsmarting Obama. He was the leader of the free world. So I guess, you know, if O'Reilly's being consistent, then I guess Fox News is now the fifth column for the Russian leader in America.
Yeah.
Exactly. Eric, great stuff as always. Thanks for getting me through another Meet the Press. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All
talk
right. There he goes. Eric Bowler from Media Matters, 17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1. Stephanie Miller. Back again. Check, get your record. Let's begin. Party on, party people. Let me hear some noise. Stephanie Miller. In the house, jump, rejoice. There's a party over here. A party over there. Wave your hands in the air. Shake the dairy, yeah. There it is.
Right there.
Woo! There it is. I've been wondering all this time. There it is.
Right. Okay. It's always in that drawer in the kitchen. Last place you look.
Yep.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to David in Chicago. Hi, David.
Hi, Stephanie. You know, when the president was elected, everybody walked away from that saying, you know, we did our thing. And now the president got Syria to back down. And it's like, well, the threat of violence was enough to stop him. The fact is that the threat of violence is always there for him. And it's now like he can't pull out you can't bring a gun to a gunfight unless you're prepared to use it.
Right.
He's got that. So what are the other things in his arsenal of diplomacy? Because if we go forward, every time somebody does something threatening to bomb him,
well, not every time someone does something. I mean, you know, look, once again, this is a red line the international community set. However, how many years ago was that at the UN? I mean, it's not.
Yeah, it was after World War
I. Yeah.
That was almost 100 years ago.
Yeah. By the way, so this piece I was talking about in the LA Times in America, not isolationism, but skepticism. When we were, I did not know that, Jim. You were saying you maybe did, but the polling was vastly against getting involved in World War II.
Right.
even helping the British because we thought it would be a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
Americans are willing to support military action when they're convinced U.S. security is directly threatened, as they did, for example, when they were convinced wrongly by President George W. Bush that Iraq's Saddam Hussein was building nuclear weapons. On the flip side, most Americans will not support military intervention for purely humanitarian reasons, as Bill Clinton learned in Somalia, Bosnia, and Kosovo, operations that were all widely unpopular at the time. Americans are often tempted toward disengagement from the world, especially at the end of a long and costly war, in this case two wars, and especially when the question involves military action. It happened after Vietnam, it happened after the Cold War, and it's happening again today. But after those earlier episodes, public opinion bounced back. So, you know, I mean, to me, that's what leadership looks like, too. You know, I mean, it's... And by the way, you know, in a good negotiation, there's something for everybody. One thing that I don't know if anybody pointed out, but Putin doesn't want these weapons getting out because Chechens might get them.
Sure.
I mean, there was a lot of, you know, And I'd forgotten about that. This is another piece. Oh, the Daily Beast about, ironically, as some readers will remember, there was the one time gas was used in a terrorist incident. It was actually Putin who ordered it to retake a Moscow theater. Remember that?
Oh, right. Yeah. Seized
by Chechen fighters in 2002. The gas killed the fighters and 130 of their hostages as well.
Right.
Paul in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Paul.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call. First time caller.
Yes, sir.
Listen. You know, I can understand why the GOP is so anti-Obama and so pro-Putin, because it's so much easier to side with somebody that has your same policies. I mean, it's like the anti-gays, anti-feminine, you know, feminine policies, all these oppressive notions the GOP absolutely loves, and it's like, oh, we're going to side with somebody that's like our cousin, not somebody that's our leader.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. The president yesterday.
Nobody around the world takes seriously the idea that the rebels perpetrated this attack. And I talked to Mr. Putin a year ago, saying to him, the United States and Russia should work together to deal with these chemical weapons stockpiles.
Yeah, as I was saying earlier, if you really think this was just some sort of bumbling, oh, it was just a off-the-cuff gaffe by John Kerry, and I think Eric Bollard, who we just finished talking to, had tweeted that about, Kerry has to answer for this blunder. Oh, never mind. We have a peaceful resolution that's just, yeah, we stumbled into. Daily Beast with a great piece, breaking it down. Syria breakthrough. In a stunning agreement that could lead to the end of the Syrian crisis, Russia and the U.S. announced a plan to eliminate Assad's chemical arsenal. The diplomatic breakthrough in Geneva today is simply stunning. In writing, at least, just about everything President Obama demanded when he threatened to attack the Assad regime earlier this month, he got everything, you know. The agreement calls on Syria to declare in detail its entire chemical arsenal within weeks and destroy it, along with everything involved in making it within 5 or 6 months. It outlines the inspection process, and if the Assad regime tries to stall or evade the agreement, Russia, far from protecting it, agrees to cooperate on U.N. resolutions that allow the use of force to compel compliance. Providing this effort is fully implemented, Kerry said, it could end the threat that these weapons pose not only to the Syrian people, but to their neighbors and to the region. And that was the piece I'd forgotten about the Chechnya. Assad appears to have little room to maneuver. This is, let's see, Christopher Dickey, a Daily Beast, writing this. Moscow appears to have shared and compared intelligence it has about his arsenal. So, please, what did I say last weekend? Putin's full of really? Yeah. That he wrote that in the New York Times? Like, now he's completely, oh, never mind. Oh, did I say the rebels did it? Let's see, blah, blah, blah. The agreement states flatly the U.S. and Russia agree that the amount and type of chemical weapons involved, since the Russians are on the ground as Assad's main arms supplier and the U.S. is the benefit of Israeli as well as its own intelligence on these matters, if the data didn't match up, they're likely to be pretty accurate. Which is what I said, Jim, last week, and not to be combative, but I was just saying when someone like a Barbara Lee says, I've seen this intelligence and other people like that I would trust on matters of war, you go, they had the intelligence. Russia had the intelligence. They know who used the weapons. They know how many people died. And that's what I think the UN report is largely going to bear out today. The Russians also appear to have dropped their contention, reiterated by Putin in his recent New York Times op-ed, that there's every reason to believe the gas attack was, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
As the president just said, that there's no one that, believe that. He said, in fact, one of the most extraordinary parts of this extraordinary document is the paragraph in which the U.S. and Russian Federation commit themselves to a U.N. Security Council resolution imposing measures under Chapter 7 of the U.N. Charter, which means the authorization of military force if Syria fails to comply with the inspection and destruction program, including unauthorized transfer or any use of chemical weapons by anyone. Essentially, it holds Assad responsible for the actions of his subordinates and potentially even for the chemical attacks launched by his enemies. Who was it yesterday on one of the shows said something about, just because they're trying to find any way to criticize the president over it, they're like, oh, what happened to Assad has to go? Assad, oh, McCain said that.
Yeah.
What happened to, oh, well, that would have been good in the negotiation. I'm sure he would have agreed to this if he would have said, oh, by the way, and you have to go. But would you please give us your weapons first? Oh. Anyway, okay. What do the Russians get from all these concessions? A lot. Obviously, talking about their role in Security Council at the same time. The al-Qaeda-linked jihadists will get their hands on chemical weapons of mass destruction and share them through their international networks. Terrorists from Chechnya periodically carry out major attacks against Russian civilians with chemical weapons. They could get more horrendous results. So that's the other thing that's in as I said, you know, Putin's interest. The big losers in all this are those who hope the U.S. might embark on military action that somehow would bring the Syrian war to an end, and also like those like some factions in Iran who might have wanted to suck America, the great Satan, into another quagmire. So anyway, he closes by saying what the administration has achieved with the threat of war rather than the act should be acknowledged for the limited but very real victory that it is. Ja think? 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I know this is not true.
Yes, you are easy, like whore. This is why I'm with you.
You are not my first choice, but you are the sluttiest. I worked my way up from you to Snooki, then to...
Stephanie Miller. Well, that's a good way to get herpes.
Yeah. Oh. Here it is, the Stephanie Miller show. I see where you're going.
What?
I see what you're doing. It's so hard to make vacation plans these days, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Between the herpes-infested monkeys in Florida... And now, brain-eating amoebas in Louisiana's drinking water.
Oh, my God. So much to do. I'm going to go with the herpes monkeys, I think.
Herpes
Here
monkeys.
He comes, riding on a pig. His funniest looks come, that sore on his leg. Hey, hey, herpes monkey. People say you monkey around. But he's still dealing with herpes.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. That just makes it seem all that better. Gawker first brought us the story, Florida being overrun by herpes-infected monkeys.
Yeah.
A colony of herpes-infected rhesus monkeys flinging their feces and viral loads through Florida now pose an official public health threat to the Sunshine State. Like a Jurassic Park with herpes sequel, three pairs of the monkeys were first brought to Silver River State Park in the 1930s, where the population quickly multiplied into the thousands. Yikes. But at the time, the monkeys were trapped on an island content to contract and spread their monkey herpes in isolation. Now the monkeys have taught themselves to swim, and authorities have spotted them hundreds of miles away near Jacksonville, threatening the health of nearby non-monkey herpes-infected human communities.
Try to drown my sorrows, but they learn to swim.
Exactly. All right, enjoy, everybody in Florida.
What's not right with Florida, huh? Sinkholes, now herpes-infested monkeys.
Come on, stand your ground against herpes-infected monkeys. Okay, we will, speaking of awesome things in Florida, Jackie Schechner joins us at the top of next hour for a healthcare corner. All right.
You're not implying she's a herpes-infected monkey.
No, she's not. She is delightful in every way. All right. The president yesterday talking about the new agreement with Syria.
The distance that we've traveled over these couple of weeks is remarkable.
Right, or as Fox says, a disastrous... Yet another
There's
disastrous
no war!
Failure.
Damn it! Why aren't we blowing stuff up?
Another disastrous failure of the Obama administration, according to the Fox News. The president...
This is not the Cold War. This is not a contest between the United States and Russia.
And by the way, I wonder if this point's been lost in all of this. The president yesterday.
I'm less concerned about style points. I'm much more concerned about getting the policy right.
How about that? By the way, Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times, fine American, I guess fellow happy clappy Obama apologist, at least on this issue.
Maybe whom you want to date and kiss and hug.
Perhaps.
Okay.
He apparently is getting the same kind of hate mail I got.
Uh-oh.
Hearing you out. He answered his mail. You know, we should do a segment like that where I answer. Although a lot of my, not really questions, just random, you know, insults.
Yeah.
Just C-word, race traitor, I don't...
You're fat.
Right, just
stuff. Oh, Kristof.
Not really. Hearing you out by Nicholas Kristof. He said, since I've obviously offended many readers by supporting missile strikes on Syria if it doesn't give up its chemical weapons, let me try to confront directly your objections. One of them, our schools are failing, Head Start is being cut back, our roads and bridges need repairs, and you want to pour billions of dollars into blowing up Syria? What a misuse of resources. Nicholas writes back, that was true in Afghanistan and Iraq. For the cost of a single soldier in Afghanistan for a year, we could have built 20 schools, but Syria seems different. A missile strike on Syrian military targets would result in no supplemental budget, so money would come from the existing military pot. In any case, the cost of 100 missiles would be about $70 million, far less than the $1 billion annual rate we're now spending on humanitarian aid for Syrians displaced by the worsening war and by gas attacks. The bottom line is that the financial cost of a strike isn't a reason to acquiesce to mass murder in Syria. So you want to reduce Syrian suffering by bombing Syrians? Seriously? He says, Syrians worry about American missiles going astray, but they prefer that risk to being endlessly bombed and gassed with impunity by the regime. That's why it's Syrians led by the Syrian government in exile who are pleading for American airstrikes. He says, okay, it's not just Syria's rulers who are monsters, but also the opposition. That seems to be a false equivalency, he writes. Sure, some of the rebels are vile, but human rights monitors find far more atrocities committed by the government forces. Likewise, Al-Qaeda-linked Islamic militias have gained strength because they receive funding and weapons from Gulf countries, until recently we provided no arms to moderate rebels. Anyway, not one more. He said, we get involved in these messes and we always regret it. Look at Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam. Christoph writes back, or look at Rwanda. President Clinton says one of the biggest regrets is not getting involved in stopping the genocide in 1994. Conversely, in Sierra Leone, Bosnia, Kosovo, Mali, Ivory Coast, there's a general agreement that the West was right to intervene militarily to avert mass atrocities. Overall, I'd say there are more successful humanitarian interventions than failures. And then his final one, I got this same one. Get a life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're a broken record on Syria and no one agrees with you. He writes back, I understand Syria is a hard case with uncertain consequences, but if we are broadly retreating from the principle of humanitarian intervention to avert mass atrocities because of compassion fatigue in a tumultuous and ungrateful world, then we're landing on the wrong side of history, and someday we will look back in shame. All right. I just thought he had some very thoughtful writing about it. I don't think he... I know. Someone made a really good point yesterday on TV, Jim, you will World War II buff that you are. Mm-hmm. Not implying that you were for World War II, but my point is, but they were saying that the world is getting tired of our intervening, like they were saying, because, you know, against the whoever the latest quote unquote Hitler is mm-hmm. in the Middle East, when we have no Churchills, you know, on the other side, on our side to help us this time. That's what I'm saying. The world has sort of, you know, but it was just a good point about it.
Okay, I get that.
Yeah. The president yesterday...
My suspicion is that the Iranians recognize they shouldn't draw a lesson that we haven't struck to think we won't strike Iran.
Hmm. He said his administration's approach to Syrian's chemical weapons should show Iran there's a potential for diplomatic solutions to the armed standoff. But he says Iran shouldn't assume that his preference for diplomacy means the U.S. wouldn't obviously... have a military response. He told ABC This Week that Iranians understand their pursuit of a nuclear weapon is a far larger issue for us than the use of chemical weapons in Syria. He says he has exchanged letters with Iran's new president, which we talked about last week.
It doesn't really benefit them to have a nuclear weapon when Israel has about 200 right next door.
Yeah.
There's really not much point to that.
Yeah, my favorite part of the whole thing is in this whole thing is Assad was demanding that Israel give up its nuclear weapons. Because he's in such a strong position with his little delicate neck.
I think you should give up your nuclear weapons. Your nukes. Your nukes to go snip.
Rob in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rob.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hey, first thing I'd like to give Jim a chance to quote Groucho Marx once again by saying, we never get rid of George Bush. We must always have him in front of us.
Right. Yeah.
And the second thing is, I'm very happy. I think it's a beautiful solution. If this, you know, I know it's not a done deal, but if we keep our eye on the ball and we can remove those weapons from Syria, this will be a perfect, beautiful solution. However, you know, you've received some criticism from the left, and I'm in agreement with a lot of the calls you've already received about the threat, you know, the Obama using a threat to bomb Syria. Because the goal is, you know, we want to stop killing each other globally, and we have to stop threatening to kill each other globally. But if we can eliminate these weapons, and, you know, it may be just realistic that we're dealing with chemical weapons, so we have to threaten with weapons, and I think I can find a justification in that if we can eliminate the weapons from Syria and then move on using that momentum to eliminate chemical weapons globally, take them away, get them away from our enemies, as well as our allies. And if we can do that, then I can agree with the threat to bomb Syria.
Wait.
Well, it's kind of a tall order, but yeah.
Say that one more time.
Well, it is a tall order. But right. See, the goal from the left and the anti-war perspective, we want to stop killing each other. That is a very tall order.
Mm-hmm.
But we do it one step at a time. We're trying to get rid of nuclear weapons. If we can get rid of chemical weapons, if we can use this as a plan to get rid of all chemical weapons, I think that we can find justification in that bombing threat.
I'm not sure I exactly got his point, but yes, that would be great if we could get rid of all chemical weapons.
That's a really tall order.
Yeah.
Did you read our friend Albert?
I mean, chemical weapons used by people who can't afford nukes or don't have the technology.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Did you see Albert Brooks in the Huffington Post wrote a piece?
Wouldn't it be great if desperation made us more attractive?
Anyway, it was Barack Obama's answer to Putin's op-ed. He wrote, what did I just read by Barack Obama? As written by Albert Brooks. So now, let's make one thing perfectly clear. This is written by a man who is the head of Russia. Russia, where the air conditioning in the room conked out even though I was in the presidential suite. Russia, where no one smiles and where people actually look disappointed that they are white. Mr. Putin, we put a man on the moon, and you barely got a monkey home safely. We invented the computer, and you invented ways to steal it. Your country is filled with our fast food businesses, and yet there's not one Russian takeout place in the whole United States. You are known for Siberia. We're known for Big Sur. We make Cadillacs and Lincolns and God knows what you call those little square death traps that you make. It's one thing to put down exceptionalism, but before you do that, you at least have to produce one Broadway show or make one commercial airliner or invent one type of salad. Having said that, your people are wonderful, and I know that you care about them deeply, except, of course, for the gay ones.
Yeah.
In any case, I enjoyed your editorial. I'm very impressed that it was printed in the New York Times. If only there was a newspaper in your country that would print this. My very best wishes, Barack Obama.
Actually, the Russians sent up dogs. We sent up monkeys. Ham and Enos.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Well, chimps.
And that little square death trap is called a Trabant.
Oh, is that
the
car?
That's an East German car.
That's Russia. What they drive in Russia.
Oh, they have now?
Oh, they still drive them in Russia because, you know, one conks out and they just take the parts from it and use it in the other Trabants.
Wow.
Yeah. It's awful.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jackie's Healthcare Corner coming up at the top of the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Henry in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Henry.
How you doing, beautiful lady?
Hello.
Hey, look, I'm kind of a little disturbed about everybody calling in talking about, well, maybe the president shouldn't have used threat first and things of that nature. But people got to understand, you can't think American when you're thinking about the situation. Because you're talking about a guy who's been in power forever. You're talking about a guy who's been able to do anything you want without any consequences from anybody. And basically, whatever he says in his country is law. You don't just come up to that guy and say, hey, can we go take him? Pretty much he's going to shove his shoulder to you. So you got to come in there and use a baseball bat and get his attention. And let him know, if you do this, there's going to be a consequence to it. And then when we do our consequence, then you're not going to like it. And, you know, you got to have the ability to impose your will. But by the president doing what he's doing, by everybody criticizing my first, because when it first all started, I sat back and laughed. And everybody looked at me, what's so funny? Mm-hmm. I said, what? Everybody going to hate what he's doing, but in the end, he's going to get what he wants.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and, you know, and the other thing is, this didn't happen overnight. You know, this is what thoughtful diplomacy looks like over 2 years, if you look at everything they've been doing. This, and if you look at the agreement, this did not come out of nowhere as a gaffe. This was very, very well thought out.
Yes, it was. And the Republicans keep talking about, well, Putin was Obama's savior and things like that. Well, Putin was his own people's savior, because bottom line is, that's where the main supply of oil and stuff come from. So it would be behoove Putin to go in there and tell him, look, dude, this is not going to going to work what you want to do, because it's not going to work out for none of us.
Yep.
So you're going to have to, you know, tighten up the strings, and you're going to have to readjust what you're doing. And, you know, it's amazing how people sit up and criticize, but the bottom line, they're willing to close our schools down and do all the crazy things here.
Yeah.
So finally, the president do something in an area where no other president been able to do anything.
Yeah.
Don't give him credit for nothing.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. The Putin had to tighten the puppet strings on his Assad puppet.
Gee, it's too tight. I can't, it's very difficult for me to speak when you're pulling on the strings so hard.
Don in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Don.
Good morning, darling. Good morning,
Moon.
Stephanie, I love you. You're only a couple years younger than me, but you look like you're about 20 years younger than me, darling. I wish.
Oh, God, don't punch her.
Anyway, truth is the truth. Anyway, when the trolls call, something I use on my troll friends is, remember, you know, I point out that, you know, the Iraq and Afghanistan is why we're having the issues with Syria and how much better this is.
Yeah.
They always, their head explodes when you mention George Bush. And I just point out to them, we own him as a country. We own him.
Yeah.
He did something in our name that we are now responsible for.
Yeah, so he broke our country and now we own
him. To the side. He can't just push it aside, pretend it didn't happen, and say, oh, now we got to move forward. Wrong. It's just like a kid in a store. If he goes in and breaks the plate, you buy the plate. Well, we own what George Bush did.
That's
right. And they just don't get the reason. And I use the word responsibility. We're responsible for what he did for us as a country.
That's what Putin was trying to do in that op-ed is tie George Bush to Barack Obama. Like, oh, how come your policy as Americans is this? It's like, no. Barack Obama's policies are exactly the opposite of George Bush's.
Precisely, but they don't get that. And when you use the word responsibility, when you say we're responsible for George Bush, the party of responsibility doesn't want to take responsibility. And I point out the hypocrisy in that, and they just clam up. They just totally go Bill O'Reilly or live balls on us, and just, you know, it's just like you're acting like children. I've got a 5-year-old grandson that I communicate better than I do with you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just. It's impossible to deal with almost, and I'm tired of giving them credibility at the table of intelligent thought. You know,
well, you know why they go.
Our opinion, no matter how ridiculous it is, our opinion matters and has to count equally. No, it doesn't.
Don, the reason that they go all Bill O'Reilly on your ass is because you're asking them to do it live. You're giving them facts live.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Thing sucks!
And now back to the brain-eating amoeba.
Oh, God.
In Louisiana. The drinking water of Louisiana, a parish, has been found to contain a brain-eating amoeba that can be fatal if it goes up your nose. I love this
Who's
part.
Drinking water through their nose?
No,
right.
neti pot when they do that.
Oh. Right, officials are telling residents the water is safe to drink, but you must make sure not to let it up your nose. Oh, yeah, that's...
Right. No, people are getting the brain-eating amoebas by using the neti pot to clear out their sinuses. Probably shouldn't do that.
That's like that low tea. It is fabulous and will make you more manly. Don't get it on your family!
But get it on the girls! And
What'd you do? You got it on someone else, didn't you?
And now you've got a household full of cousin it's.
Wow, this is awesome. The organism travels up your nose and multiplies.
Great. Does it do division too?
Hey!
But it's not very good at algebra.
No. Not that kind of party. It's a sexy party up your nose. Mm. Eating your brain and slowly killing you.
Great.
So there. Just saying. Peace, looks like a peaceful resolution in Syria, and you probably don't have a brain-eating amoeba up your nose. So it's a good day.
So, wow. It seems like the South is like just collapsing under its own weight. You have brain-eating amoebas in Louisiana.
Herpes monkeys. Herpes monkeys in Miami.
Sinkholes.
God.
And if you happen to go to a Mexican restaurant in
Arizona?
Yeah. Litchfield, Arizona?
Litchfield Park, Arizona,
right.
Yep.
Mexican restaurant causes bloody diarrhea outbreak. Offers free burritos as an
apology. Oh, good.
Sure.
That'll fix it.
Wow. Frederico's Mexican food restaurant chain, right there, Litchfield, Arizona location, caused an E. coli outbreak that gave 74 patrons.
Oh, boy.
Well,
bloody
right,
diarrhea.
Really, grossly.
Yeah.
bouts of, right. But an expert in PR.
PR,
an expert PR move. Federico's hired a cleaning expert and will offer free burritos today. September 16th, that's today, right? Yep. It's free burrito day, everybody.
Just go to Federico's in Litchfield Park.
Free bloody diarrhea day.
Sweet, you've got diarrhea. Beans, that's what you want to do. Problem solvers. Uh-oh, guess what? Gawker brings us the story. Pat Robertson has lost his fight to keep gay AIDS ring video off the net.
Yeah.
You cannot fight the internet, kids.
What would we do without the gay AIDS ring?
Yeah. Octogenarian bastion of hate, Pat Robertson, has lost his fight to keep his gay AIDS ring's comments off the internet. Guess the world will have to live with his theory that gay people spread AIDS by cutting people with special rings.
Right.
Robertson's CPN had tried to remove the video from the internet, first by claiming copyright infringement and having it removed from YouTube, and then by editing out of its own rebroadcasts. RightWingWatch.com, though, filed a counterclaim with YouTube that the video was protected by fair use. YouTube sided with RightWing Watch and has now restored the video magically. Because you can still see
That's newsworthy, and so that needs to stay up on
And it comes with a Brazilian power crystal.
Right. Wow. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, Jackie's Healthcare Corner next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Why? It's just like old times. Aww. Here she comes.
Imagine reading news. I think she gets up in the night.
Not anymore. Tanned, rested, healthy.
And got it right. Was Jackie Scheckner. She does the news. So happy to Scheckner.
Good morning, Jackie Scheckner.
It's like a retro Monday.
Yeah.
I told him about seeing you at a party last weekend. You look tan, rested, healthy, happy.
And I've been getting some sleep.
Right. Right.
It's amazing how the body bounces back.
We're still here and bitter about it. But we miss you.
I miss you guys, too.
Aw. I know, and I know you have a very busy schedule now. You're going paddleboarding with Hot Bree, our friend Melissa Fitzgerald, at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So
she got me it was actually very sweet. As I understand it, let's back up a little bit. She got us both the gift, and you bowed out.
Oh, yes. I am not a fan of the paddleboarding. I would rather be waterboarded, in fact. But good luck.
But we're going to go paddle. Yeah. She said, I got one for Steph, too, but she doesn't like it.
No, I don't like it. My friend, I see that, and nothing has changed since you've been gone. GOP explains why 42nd House vote to repeal Obamacare will be better than the previous 41.
They just keep going at it, don't they?
Yep, yep. Let's see. Oh, Representative Tim Holzkamp, Republican of Kansas. He's pretty amped up about vote number 2, Jack. He and other Tea Party lawmakers in the House pushing GOP leaders to tie a vote to defund Obamacare to a must-pass temporary spending bill aimed at keeping the government funded past October 1st.
The continuing resolution, yeah.
Yeah. He said none of the other votes were must-pass bills. They were individual bills. We've had 42 different swings of the bat, 42 different exhibition games, but we never actually had a regular season. So they're
come on!
So this one's the real one. That's why it's different.
Yeah, okay, whatever. I had this conversation with a friend of mine a couple days ago who worked on the campaign with me, and it's just so stinks of desperation. Because I think what's going to happen is once we implement the full effect of the Affordable Care Act, which is all coming up in the next few months, January 1st will all be in play, the Republicans are going to get called out on all their lies. All of this fear-mongering, all of these warnings that they're putting out that are totally untrue are going to be revealed. And so they've got to try and do something before that deadline of just because it's all going to be abundantly clear that it's all been fabricated. And so they're just getting even more and more desperate.
Right. But you know what? President Obama still has a bit of a tough sell because there was a new NBC Wall Street Journal poll out this morning that says 44% of Americans still call it a bad idea.
Well, 31% say it's a good idea. But, yeah. I mean, Jackie, isn't that part of why the Republicans are doing this last gasp? They think while Americans still don't know exactly what it is and are going to realize they like it, we still have a window, right?
Right, and I took a look. I saw the poll numbers came out last night before I turned in. That's one of the benefits of being able to stay up later than 7 o'clock.
You see some more news.
You catch stuff, yeah. So I took a look. I saw the poll numbers, and my first instinct was, okay, how many people said that they know anything about it? And that's what happens with these polls, is they say, you know, how do you feel about it? Do you like it? Do you think it's going to help? Do you think it's going to hurt? And then you dig deeper, and it's because people don't know anything about it. And I do, look, I blame the administration for this, because they did a really bad job marketing it. We pushed really hard during the fight to try to get as much information out there as we possibly could. But we didn't do a fabulous job of explaining it during. We didn't do a great job of explaining it after. We're certainly not doing a great job of marketing it right now. And by we, I just mean those who support the Affordable Care Act. And that's the problem. And it's a lot easier to make people afraid of something that they don't know than it is to get them excited about something they don't know, because it's a heavy lift to do that. It's just a much harder thing to accomplish.
Well, for instance, I sent you this letter. Keith wrote, help, I need the superpowers of Nurse Jackie. I have a friend who's a press secretary for a Republican congressman. He's been telling me nonsense about how his health insurance is going to cost him around $600 a month when they're forced to go on Obamacare. He's 30 years old in good health, has no wife or kids. Therefore, I call bull. I'm 46, single, and self-employed person. I've been buying my own individual plan for 10 years. I've never seen a plan that costs more than $350. I tend to take the high-deductible plan, it's true, but the ones I've seen with low or no deductible haven't been close to $600 a month. I think he's full of it. What do you think?
Oh, this is so much fun. I don't even know how to break it down other than to just kind of go through this piece by piece. But the guy says he's a Republican staffer, okay?
Yeah.
Which means that he gets his benefits through the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program, which means the government, which means the taxpayer, currently subsidizes his health insurance premium.
So he should shut the hell up.
SPFU. That's what the doctor
is. It costs him $90 a month because it costs you, the taxpayer, money to pay the difference between what he pays and what it costs. It's the same way your employer would subsidize your premiums, except in this case the employer is the government, so the money comes from you, the taxpayer. So.
Right.
First of all, to talk about what he pays, it's because his employer, in quotes, the government, you, the taxpayer, pays the difference.
Yeah.
And then he goes on in this letter that you sent me to talk about, he says, younger people are forced to buy the silver or gold plan. That's entirely untrue. He says, and we won't get the subsidy. That's not true. Your subsidy is not dependent on your age. Your subsidy is dependent on your income.
Right.
And he says, in fact, under Obamacare, we younger folks don't even have the option for catastrophic insurance. Section 1303 of the bill talks about catastrophic plans. And there's a whole section about catastrophic plans. He doesn't have access to it because he's not under 30. 30 is not considered younger in the bill. You have to be under 30 to have access to the catastrophic plan. So, I mean, just everything in this little blurb that he sent his friend is entirely wrong.
And why is Obama forcing him to be over 30?
Yeah. I hate to say it, but you're a little bit in denial because, you know, once you hit 30, unfortunately, you start to have some more grown-up issues.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
The plumbing stops working.
let's take one for Jackie. Hello, Sarab in Santa Fe. You're on with Jackie. Go ahead.
I'm on with Jackie or Stephanie?
Me, both.
Okay.
It's a three-way.
I called on about the Syria thing, and I was told it switched to the healthcare debate. I don't really believe what I'm about to propose, but I'm just proposing it as a facetious concept. I almost think that Obama is doing this Syria thing and acting tough to shut up Boehner and McCain so that they'll occupy the whole month of September, so that the Affordable Health Care Act will be in place and they won't be able to stop it, just to shut off the 43rd, vote against and the 44th and the 45th. I mean,
okay.
We only really...
All right. I'm guessing that Nurse Jackie would recommend that you ice down your groin from that stretch.
Yeah.
Yes, the president created this whole Syrian crisis, Jackie, don't you think?
Actually, your hamstrings.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a reach. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cassandra in Hollywood, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead, Cassandra.
Hi, I have a couple of questions, and I'm a fan of single payer, but I called Covered California about it, and they couldn't answer it. I'm losing my insurance at the end of the year, and I'm going to need insurance as of January 1, but they're going to base the subsidy on our tax returns from 2012. My husband lost his job that year. Our income's gone down. We're both freelancing, and it fluctuates a lot. So how are we going to be able to qualify for a subsidy based on taxes of 2012, and what if our income changes during the time period?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know, I wish I had a solid answer for that. If they're going to go back to the last year, then obviously what subsidy you receive would be based on that. But I wonder if there's not, and I'd have to actually look this up, if there's not some accommodation in place for that fluctuation. And I understand completely what you're saying because I've been a freelancer for years and years, you know, throughout my career, and that's definitely a problem. Is one year you can make a real decent amount of money, and then the year it drops off considerably, and you could certainly use that subsidy. I have to look it up, to be honest with you, but that's a very real concern, and that's something
I would love for you to run that question up the flagpole. That's the same thing I told people at Covered California, because that's a real issue, especially in these times when people are losing their income. Because as of January 1, I couldn't even supply, you know, financial aid, my finances for this year, because I won't be able to get my W-2s and all that kind of stuff. So why don't you work on that, Jackie, and get back to
this? All right, you'll get right on.
I can do that.
You're around your busy paddleboarding schedule. You'll get right on.
That's actually a really good question, because a lot of people in the individual market are freelancers or people who are self-employed, and that is true that their salary or the money that they make, not their salary, but their income, does vary from year to year. That's one of the upsides and downsides of being a freelancer. So that's actually a very, very real concern, and I'll do some research to see if I can find out how that would be accommodated.
Don't you love that people think that you still work for them? I love that. All right. Stephanie,
you know what, though? If it makes me relevant, I'm happy to do it.
you never lose relevance. Stephanie in Madison, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead, Steph.
Hey guys, okay, here's my scoop. I'm disabled. I'm 51. I'm a Gen Xer like Steffi.
That's right.
Yeah, but,
right.
so what my question is, I need a supplemental policy to pick up the things that Medicare doesn't pay for, and because I have a I'm sick, so they'll charge me a lot. Should I wait till January to apply for a supplemental policy, or is it available now?
Well, the exchanges will open. I don't know what's happening with the Medicare supplement policies. The Medicare Rights Center is really good for information about that. It's Medicare.org.
Okay.
And they would have more information.
Wait,
about
say it one more time, Jack.
It's MedicareRights.org.
Okay.
The Medicare Rights Center. And the only reason I say this is because Medicare operates differently than regular health insurance. And so I don't want to give out information that's inappropriate for Medicare patients, because it's a totally different animal. But Medicare Rights Center has a lot of information.
Okay. All right. Jack, we have you for one more segment before your busy paddleboarding schedule.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, sure. Fabulous. All right. Jackie's Health Care Corner continues 18 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
Think about direction, wonder why you have it now. Stand in the place where you were, now face.
Stephanie Miller.
Think about the place where you live, wonder why you have it now.
Bam, bam. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12.
We sit in the place that we work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jackie Schaffner, back in the old homestead. Good morning, Nurse Jackie. Kyle and Albuquerque. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before we get to other callers, not that I want to hijack your show or anything.
Please.
But I read some
been great last night as I was kind of poking around on the latest healthcare information to make sure I was up to speed. The Affordable Care Act doesn't promise cheaper insurance for everybody. It right. promises access to affordable, quality healthcare for everybody. And I think that's an important thing to note as people mm-hmm. talk about what their premiums are going to cost. We didn't pass reform to make insurance cheaper for everyone. Like, we'd like the rates to go down, but that wasn't the goal of healthcare reform. And I think people need to keep that in mind, is that what we're trying to do is bring down the cost, but also get access to affordable healthcare for everybody. And that's where we're aiming.
Right. That's a very good point. Kyle in Albuquerque says, Mom, I got a question for Jackie. What's to keep employers from keeping the savings they receive as a result of the ACA and keeping employee rates high or even making us pay a higher percentage in order to discredit the ACA?
If employers want to make it more expensive?
Yeah, he's saying... Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know what... Oh, go ahead. Your phone's cutting out, honey. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. If you have a shady employer, there's nothing I can do about that. there's lots of possible scenarios where employers are going to make the decisions they make because they want to maximize their profits and they're not interested in the well-being of their employees. But that's just the way corporations work. And there's some great corporations where employers will put their employees first and they'll do what's right by the people that work for them and with them. And then there's some corporations that don't really care about the well-being of their workers. And there's really nothing you can do about that. They were going to implement bad practices whether or not there was healthcare reform or not. I mean, it doesn't really matter. This is the way those people are. So they can use the Affordable Care Act as an excuse or as cover. But frankly, if they're doing something that doesn't bode well for their employees, then that's on the employer.
Or you can supply healthcare grudgingly like I do for my employees.
Yeah.
Not that I really want to, but just because
thanks
I tend
for the Band-Aid, boss.
Right. Because I tend to throw staplers at him. So. Oh, crap. I hung up on Jackie by accident again. You know how I do that. Jackie, call back. All right.
You just hurled a metaphorical stapler at Jackie.
Yes.
Jackie.
Yeah, exactly. Oops. I didn't. That was unintentional. Yeah, I forgot the
help. Sure, it was.
The hold button thing.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in 1 second. Okay. That's what, Jackie says that frequently, and that's a good point, is don't blame, Obamacare reflexively for stuff that if you have a douchey boss.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. All right. Let me see here. Okay. Let me see if I'm going to do this correctly. Debbie in Minnesota, you were calling about the previous caller talking about if your income changes.
I am. You are all gods and goddesses. I can't believe I'm calling.
Thank you.
I actually have an answer to something that Jackie didn't know.
Wait. Hang on. Let me put you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Got it. All right. Go ahead. Debbie, you're on with Jackie.
Yes, I can't believe I may actually know something that Goddess Jackie doesn't, but I had a similar situation happen regarding the exchange. I live in Minnesota, and we have MNsure, and my income, because I'm a full-time student, is going to be, zero January 1st, and I wasn't sure what they were going to qualify me with. And they told me that it would be based on projected. Now, this is MNsure, projected for 2014, and not my previous tax returns, which I thought was a wonderful answer. I was told that directly. I don't know if it's different because it's Minnesota, but that is what they said.
That's fabulous. It's great news. I actually just sent a note off to some of the people that I know who know even more about this than I do, and I'll see what I get back, and I'll definitely put it up on Twitter. But that sounds like a reasonable solution.
And a little hope
for figure out what that is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go to Bobby in Oregon. You're on with Jackie. Hello. Go ahead. Hello, Bobby.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Stefan gang. Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Bobby from Oregon. I'm a gay veteran, and now I'm a gay truck driver.
Awesome.
Does
that mean
you
only drive gay trucks? Is that how it
is? He's just blowing his own gay horn. Okay, go ahead, Bobby.
I have a question for Jackie. I was wondering, do I have to keep insurance with my company, or can I go out and get it on my own if it's going to be better through this new exchange?
If you have it for
Go ahead. Go ahead.
If you have it for your employer, that needs to be your primary source for the time being. The exchange is open to individuals, and it's open to some small businesses. But right now, the people who get their insurance through work, that has to be their primary source. If you have an option of affordable health insurance through work, that's where your primary source has to be. I don't think the exchanges are going to be open to you.
Okay. Let's take one last one. Casey in Spokane, you're on with Jackie. Go.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Jack. Question for you. Is it going to be easier for doctors to administer care for people who are on Medicare and Medicaid under the Affordable Health Care Act?
Easier to administer care.
Available. It seems like a lot of people who are on Medicare or Medicaid sometimes run into a lot of roadblocks to get it paid for or for care. And I'm just wondering if the new Affordable Health Care Act will help improve that.
Well, what's interesting is that that's kind of a misconception because a lot of doctors prefer to take Medicare than private insurance because Medicare pays. When you go to submit your bills to Medicare, they reimburse. When you submit bills to private insurance companies, a lot of times they do everything they can to not reimburse. So a lot of doctors I know who would prefer to take Medicare than private insurance because they don't have to go through all the hassle.
Sweetness, we're out of time. I love you. Ah! I'll talk to you again soon.
You guys
have fun paddleboarding.
All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I can't do this anymore. I'm a good girl. I went to Catholic school.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, how's about this guy? Iowa youth pastor rapes boys to cure them of homosexuality. Won't spend one day in prison. How about that? How's about that? Let's see. Okay, have you heard of the Iowa youth pastor who was walking free after confessing to raping boys to cure them of homosexuality? Precisely what happened in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Brent Giroux was arrested on 60 counts, blah, blah, blah. He confessed to police he had sex with at least four youths, but eight more have since come forward.
Oh, God.
He told detectives that his actions were meant to help with the homosexual urges by praying while he had...
Right, sex. Sure.
In order to keep them sexually pure for God. He then allegedly told police that when they would ejaculate, they would be getting rid of the evil thoughts in their mind.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Boy.
He took them to his own home that he shares with his wife and four children. By the way, not so fun fact, as we've mentioned before, most pedophiles straight identified.
Yep.
Man.
So how is he not in prison?
Judge in the case sentenced him to 17 years in prison, then immediately suspended the sentence in favor of sex offender treatment and 5 years probation.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Wow. In happier news.
Well, if he does go to prison, he'll be cured of the gay. According to his theory.
Oh dear. In happy news, old guys in love, Chula Vista Veterans Home hosts first gay wedding.
Aww.
A World War II veteran married his boyfriend of 20 years in a historic ceremony at the Veterans Home of Chula Vista last week.
A World War II veteran?
Yes.
Got to be 90.
Wow. He's 95, okay, and his boyfriend is 67.
Wow, he's kind of robbing the cradle there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Who served in Vietnam said they wanted to have their ceremony among friends, so they chose to have it at the veteran's home where they've lived for the last 3 years.
Wow.
And thank you for your service.
It would have been very hard to come out during World War II.
That would have been a little tough.
Yikes.
Okay. So, by the way, speaking of this, recall of the gun control Democrats in Colorado. Did NRA's Colorado surrogates cheat to win recalls? Oh, heavens.
Huh.
One factor that may have contributed to the narrow victories for the NRA and its allies, one lost by just 343 votes, was voter suppression. Debbie Wasserman Schultz sent out a letter last week. Colorado voters are used to casting their ballots by mail, but because of lawsuits filed by opponents of common sense gun reform, voters were not mailed their ballots in this election. Those who intended to vote in person did not learn their polling locations until less than 2 weeks before Election Day. Tuesday's low turnout was a result of efforts by the NRA, the Koch brothers, and other right-wing groups who know that when more people vote, Democrats win. And a lot of votes of extreme voter intimidation just coming in. One canvasser said, we had to call the police on a van of four huge guys staking out our staging location. Volunteers are being followed, threatened, having their pictures taken and yelled at. We're now being told that it's bad enough to call 911 immediately.
They've been moving polling places to way out-of-the-way areas that are inaccessible.
Yeah.
With, not anywhere near enough parking for, the number of people trying to vote.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
This seems counterintuitive. A study shows link between gun ownership and homicide.
Huh. Wow. Who could have seen that coming? Wow.
Actually, that's another thing the NRA has been fighting, is getting studies like
yeah.
this. Researchers in the U.S. claim to have established a convincing statistical link between gun ownership and homicide, according to a new study. The study, which appears in the American Journal of Public Health, challenges the NRA's claim that increased gun ownership does not lead to higher levels of gun violence. Covering 30 years from 1981 in all 50 U.S. states, it determined that for every 1 percentage point in the prevalence of gun ownership in a given state, the firearm homicide rate increased by 0.9%. Huh. Yeah, I know you wouldn't think you would need a study, but I guess you do.
Yep.
If you're with the NRA. Hey, how's about this story? Miss America crowns its first winner of an Indian descent. Racist tweets flow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's another America yeah story.
Yeah.
No sooner had the tiara been placed atop her head than a barrage of racist tweets flooded the internet. If you're Miss America, you should have to be American, said one. She actually is American. She is just happens to be of Indian descent. In fact, she's the first Indian American to be crowned Miss America.
Actually, the only real Americans are American Indians. So, you know, we're all
yes
newcomers.
One person tweeted, well, they just picked a Muslim for Miss America. That must have made Obama happy. Maybe he had a vote. See, this is why I don't really venture
is
much.
Is she Muslim?
Chris, the Twitterverse.
Is she Hindu?
No.
Is she Christian?
No, she's not Muslim.
She's not Muslim.
No. Miss America, you mean Miss 7-Eleven.
Really?
Miss America right now or Miss Al-Qaeda? Tweeted some
idiot.
Other dope. Okay.
First of all, you're thinking of Sikhs
right.
who are from
exactly.
India. They're not Muslim.
Oh,
And secondly, shut up.
And secondly, get off Twitter, you moron.
In the days after 9/11, I was working in Phoenix, Arizona, and there was someone went and shot up a Sikh who was working at a gas station in Mesa because they thought he was Muslim.
He's Muslim.
That was embarrassing.
Well, I've been waiting for this. I don't know about you. Kiss's Gene Simmons has raided Miley Cyrus's tongue wagging.
I thought she's retired the tongue. Why are we still talking?
Well... He says it was okay for a girls' version. He said it's like girls' basketball. It's as good as girls can get at basketball, but you can't play with the guys.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Whatever. All right. You know who could kick his ass in a tongue contest? Hal Sparks.
That's true.
Hal Sparks. That is long tongue. That is impressive.
I think he must have severed some tendons or something.
Something.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's required to do heavy metal, but it's impressive.
I've got I can touch my tongue to my nose.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, stop that.
I mean, some people just have long...
Okay. How much time do you spend doing that? Get back to work. You can't get that done now. Okay. Pia Zadora has been... Who thought I would start a celebrity stack with Pia Zadora?
I know, right? Celebrity?
Really? Okay. Pia Zadora ordered to undergo anger counseling.
Oof.
Oh, she can be saucy.
In this business, the price of success is very high, especially for a woman. I don't suppose I'm the only one who's had to f*** her way to the top.
Oh, dear.
Hmm.
A judge ordered her to complete alcohol and impulse control counseling.
There's a such thing?
Well, if you your way to the top, you need to control that impulse, apparently.
Yeah.
She was arrested in May after police say she sprayed her teenage son with a hose in an attempt to get him to go to bed. Oh, she's a total transformation mother.
Right.
That's more of a...
You are not going to talk to me like that anymore, or I'll hit you with the hose.
Or it gets the hose again. That seems like a better way to get someone to wake up than to go to bed.
Yeah,
really? Turn the hose on someone to get them to go to bed.
We appreciate the total transformation system as a sponsor of the Stephanie Miller newscast.
Indeed we do.
And we're sure it works very, very well, and we're sure it does not include turning the hose on your children.
Right, that's the point. It gives you better resources than turning a hose on a teenager. Who teaches that technique? That's for getting dogs to separate on your yard.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, speaking of, you know who else could use the total transformation system? Dina Lowen, who was just arrested for drunk driving.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Lindsay get these things from? Oh, she's the mother of the freshly rehabbed Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
Right.
She was
just completely
arrested
cured
in
now.
New York for a DWI.
Hmm.
Hmm. It's weird. She seems so together before this.
First of all, who drives in New York?
Anyway. I know, exactly. You are Long really
Island.
A loser.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the family's Long from Long Island. Island, so,
oh,
yeah.
All right. Paula Deen has made her first public... No, she did not bring tap dancing. Stop it. She has made her first public appearance since the N-word scandal.
Mm.
She emerged Saturday at the Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining Show at Houston's Reliance Center.
Oh, that seems like it would be a friendly audience in order to
ugly
cry.
Right. Well, she was greeted enthusiastically by the crowd, and her tearful reaction was described by her son as, that's an ugly cry, Mama.
Yeah.
Hmm. Where they're tap dancing.
No, it's all part of a carefully orchestrated return to the spotlight.
It's my first time out in 3 months, she told a cheering crowd, and I've said all along the one place I'd want to make my first step back was Texas. Yeah.
Who wants a stick of butter?
Yeah, I'm guessing that's where you would get that one.
Yeah.
By the way, in one of her 70,000, or I don't know how many there were, video apologies, they were all kind of ugly cries, weren't they? The false eyelashes kind of falling off.
Yeah.
Britney style. And,
Leave her alone!
Jake Gyllenhaal has done inside.
Gyllenhaal.
What did I say?
Gyllenhaal.
All right.
It's probably.
I get that wrong every time.
You do.
We've had him on the show, and he was delightful.
He was delightful.
Mm-hmm. He was on Inside the Actors Studio.
Uh huh.
If you were a tree, what sort of tree would you be?
No, that's Barbara Walters. That's asked, "What's your favorite curse word?"
Ah.
Yes.
He, since the huge success of Brokeback Mountain, came the inevitable questioning of his sexuality, because no one seems to get acting for some reason when anyone... I don't... Since he plays a gay cowboy in the film, Gyllenhaal?
Gyllenhaal,
yes. Right. Commented on the rumors during his talk with Lipton and said it's a huge compliment, but what he prefers is an ass.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Good for him. Wayne in Connecticut, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Wayne.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, I got a quick question for you. Do you remember at the end of, towards the end of the Clinton administration, they were negotiating with Libya to give up the nukes. And it took a while. It finally happened when Bush was president, and the right gave Bush all the credit in the world for having Libya turn over the nukes, and we didn't have to go to war with them. And now they won't give the same credit to Obama for Syria with the chemical weapons.
No.
It's the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's what Bill Maher calls blacktracking. They are blacktracking because President Obama is the president now. It's incredible. I mean, you would not think they can say some of the things they can say with a straight face.
Right.
Like that Bill Clinton was responsible for 9/11. What now?
What?
Wait a minute, huh? All right. And as you mentioned earlier, Chris, this is President Obama cleaning up George Bush's flaming pile of poo.
Exactly.
Internationally. And
why are you blaming Bush for everything? Well, because Bush did everything wrong.
Right. Exactly.
Should be blaming Cheney for everything. She was the real president.
Exactly. 45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
I remember 1999. It wasn't all that great.
It was okay.
I didn't feel like farting, though.
Yeah.
I felt too much pressure from this song. Too much of a contrarian. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, obviously we covered the big story of the morning, and that is herpes monkeys in...
herpes monkeys.
Right.
Herpes monkeys.
Right. In Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, herpes monkeys, which have their own song, of course, already.
Nope.
The herpes-infected monkeys.
Here he comes, riding on a pig. It's the funniest mixed cars that sore little bit. Hey, hey, herpes monkey. People say a monkey around.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
But he's still dealing with herpes.
I don't know.
Ouch. Made it come to your town.
I know what you're thinking, Chris.
What
about IKEA monkey?
Yeah, whatever happened to IKEA monkey?
Who did not have herpes and had a tiny shearling coat.
As far as we know, he didn't have herpes. How do you know?
Well,
did you kiss him?
No. And the IKEA monkey will not be returned to his mom. This is very sad. Aww. A judge ruled the pet monkey found wandering outside the IKEA store in Toronto should not be returned to the woman who calls himself herself his mom.
That's probably reason enough to not return the monkey to the person.
Well, and taking your monkey to IKEA in a tiny shearling coat.
And leaving him in the car where he could escape.
Right.
Yeah. Walk up to the door looking for his mom.
The monkey named Darwin became famous last year when he was spotted walking around the parking lot in his tiny little shearling coat.
So do you have to sail back to the Galapagos Islands now?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. The judge ruled that while the monkey may have worn clothing and slept in his former owner's bed, he is still a wild animal and so therefore should not be returned to her.
What's going to happen with the
There is no word. I'm sure he will be sent to a monkey place of some sort.
Yeah, where they serve, where he could sleep in a florg bed,
right,
a crib or something.
Serve you
Swedish
meatballs.
Yes, Lincolnshire.
Swedish meatballs, yes.
He will be somewhere where someone has better fashion sense, let's hope. Shearling coat. Okay.
He looks stylish.
Who wears tiny shearling coats?
He looks stylish.
Okay. Wow, did you see this? Two Republican senators, I'll let you guess who, are among President Obama's sharpest foreign policy critics on Saturday, blasted a Syrian chemical weapons agreement as, quote, an act of provocative weakness.
Huh?
McCain and Graham.
Yes. Okay, nicely done, sir.
Thank you.
Nicely done. Right. That will embolden enemies such as Iran. Right, and that's why.
Provocative weakness.
We're actually talking to
Iran now.
Look out!
I'm not going to hit you.
Wow. Okay. John McCain and Senator Butch Me Up, as Charlie Pierce calls Lindsay. What concerns us most is that our friends and enemies will take the same lesson from this agreement. They see it as an act of provocative weakness on America's part. We cannot imagine a worse signal to send to Iran as it continues to push for its own.
A worse signal would be actually to bomb Tehran and kill a bunch of innocent people.
Yes.
That'd be a lot worse.
Yes. Wow. Okay. We're going to try to get our friend Representative Jim Moran on. But he was on MSNBC. Everybody was talking about yesterday, just saying that, honestly, the president could not, I don't think of it. How can you expect a better outcome, I keep saying, than getting a dictator to admit he had weapons that he didn't admit and give them up without firing a shot?
They're all in my desk. You can have them. Take them away, please. I don't want them anymore.
They're all in my desk.
Next to my stapler. So let's keep my stapler.
Obviously, the UN report released today is going to back all this up, but Russia has even stopped insisting on this ridiculousness that it was the rebels behind it.
I was kidding. It was a joke. It was a big joke.
Anyway,
that country.
Anyway, but Jim Moran was saying, like, really? This Congress can not get anything done. Really? We should be talking. He should go talk to, Michelle Bachmann and Louis Gohmert again about what to do about foreign policy. Really?
Oh,
the wackadoodles?
The day is at hand.
Hey, kids, what's for breakfast?
My name is Michelle Bachmann. I'm a member of the United States Congress from the United States of America.
And that's not all.
And joining me are two other members of Congress, Representative Steve King of Iowa and also Louis Gohmert of Texas.
It's Sugar Frosted Wackadoodles, the number one breakfast cereal for American kids in the United States of America, where America is.
Thank you, and it has been wonderful to be here in Egypt.
Wackadoodles, part of this unbalanced breakfast.
It appears that the Obama administration has been backing the Muslim Brotherhood in recent months.
The Muslim Brotherhood, they're always after me, wackadoodles.
And moms, remember, wackadoodles contains 100% of your child's minimum daily exposure to lead-based paint. Try new sugar-frosted wackadoodles. They're crazy. On your grocer shelf next to Fruity Putins.
Fruity Putins?
Fruity
Putins. Yay!
The last thing Putin needs is fruity. Trust me. Sure, I run around without
like
shirt,
that.
But...
Right. And by the way, our friend Jonathan Bernstein wrote a good piece in Salon, Five Biggest Ways the Media Misled America This Month. Oh, I was saying yesterday, by the way, I thought my head was going to explode watching Meet the Press. What's his name? Bob Woodward said that this is just more of Obama's dumb luck.
What you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Mm-hmm. At no point... were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
That's what John Bernstein says in Salon. He said, we just had one of our nation's most important foreign policy debates in years, and the media made us dumber. You have made us all dumber. Thanks a lot. Here are five things most of the press got totally wrong, he writes, in the reporting on the Syria story over the last month. Number one, Obama's presidency rested on winning the congressional vote. Just a few days after the Syria situation was put on hold, everyone's attention went back to the impending budget showdown. A few of the good stories about leverage in that fight made any mention of Syria. What the whole presidency rested on just last week was instantly forgotten. Number two, Barack Obama's goal was war, and the key question about whether he gets it, that certainly was the correct way to interpret the Bush administration's approach to Iraq, but it was unhelpful in thinking about what Obama wanted in Syria. It would have been more accurate to frame it in terms of a goal, Obama's stated goal of increasing international norms against the use of chemical weapons. As I said before, he got exactly what he wanted. I trusted that he didn't want war, because I... why I voted for him. Number three, presidents are deciders, so the important question is whether they can enforce their decisions. George Bush is the one that said that.
I decide which is right and what's best.
If presidents are not so much deciders as they are initiators, then Obama's record on Syria looks a lot different. Then the questions worth asking aren't about whether he got his way, but such things as whether he made the right choices on what to spend his resources on, whether his initiative was well-timed, and whether he did a good job of listening to the information that his initiative generated, and most importantly, whether the eventual policy was a good one or not, which I think the president made that point yesterday. He was talking about, let's do that real quick before we go. Which I think he was concerned from the
beginning. I'm less concerned about style points. I'm much more concerned about getting the policy right.
Thank you. Yep. And we did. Thank you, Mr. Woot. President.
Woot.
All right, that's it for us today. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.